Praise the Lord, and welcome to another Sunday online service at Bread of Life Church. I pray that the Lord is protecting you, that He is keeping you in good faith, that your faith would only be strengthened through the hardships that you face during this time. And I pray that God will prepare your heart not only for worship this morning, but to hear the message through our pastor. So, Lord God, we thank you for all that you've given us today, Lord God. You are the Ancient of Days, Lord God. You are worthy of all honor, all glory, all worship, Lord God. We praise you today in Jesus' name.
Shall bow at your throne.
Christ the silent rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, the Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For those who have accepted Christ are also in Christ, and to be in Christ is to be united to the vine who is Christ. So, as Christians, we have been united to Christ in a unique way so that we no longer live, but Christ lives through us. And this is not to say that we no longer have our own selves, but we find our identity in Christ because His life has been the redemption for our lives. So join us as we sing this song, Yet Not I, But Christ in Me.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my and read.
You today. Again, this is Pastor Bert Lloyd from Bread of Life Church in Bouleville, New York, praying for all that are looking forward to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bring us through this present situation and to be with us until the day of His return. I'd like to open in a word of prayer. And dear Lord God, we do invite Your Holy Spirit to come and have full reign in this time that we share together. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be acceptable in Your sight, Lord God. Bless the people, Lord God, that are watching and listening today. Open their hearts to Your truth, Lord God, and let me speak as the truth of God in my heart. In Christ's name, I thank You, Lord. Amen. We hear newscasters and celebrities and politicians and various religious leaders proclaiming that God will see us through this present crisis. Words of encouragement come from the lips of many. But my thoughts today are, on what do the people that give words of encouragement and base their assurance? Is the God that they proclaim the true and only God? Or is the generic God concept that they offer nothing more than just a placebo or a sugar tablet or a means to soothe psychologically a person in distress without curing the disease? Does the hope that some offer have any basis at all or any power to back it up? I believe there is hope, and there is real hope from the true God, and that's what I'd like to think about a little bit today. Now, we could ask many questions, and questions are easy to ask, but answers to these questions, they're a different matter. So the answer I present today is based on the Word of God, the Bible. The answer to the maladies of the world's crisis is found in Scriptures, and this specific Scripture seems to speak to that issue. In Romans 5:12 it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So the Bible is saying that by one man, or the first man, Adam, being the head of the human race, he brought sin into the world, and sin entered into the world, and with sin came death. How do we know that people sin? Because everyone dies. Sin results in death. And so death was passed upon to all men, for that all have sinned. It's like the disease passed on from a parent to a child. So that is the way sin, or the sin nature, has been passed on. So the principle of sin and death entered into the world, the once perfect world that God had created. And with this fall from perfection came all manner of corruption, of sickness, of disease, and even the upheaval of nature itself. Now, our present state is a result of the general fall of the human race in their rejection of God. Sin and death, with its corruption, is evident, not only in mankind, but in nature and the universe as well. The above verse that I read states that all suffer because of the sin that has entered because of one man, and one man having passed the disease of sin to all his future offspring. Therefore, every man is born with his sinful nature. This results in mankind's sinful acts and the corruption of all physical creation. Yes, the diseases of the world are serious to our well-being. Our health is certainly affected by this present coronavirus. But the disease of sin is even more serious. It not only affects our lives here on earth, but it also the eternal destination of our mind, body, and spirit. The disease of sin is universal. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that sin and death is passed on to all. Now, I'd like to make a loose comparison of the disease of the world, the diseases of the world, and the disease of sin. So let's look at these questions from a traditional Christian point of view. Let me begin with some basic principles of truth. The Bible tells us that wonderful scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus again said in John 4:14-6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And in Acts 4:12, Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other than Jesus, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." We quote often the scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And we believe that with all of our hearts. There is a specific way to salvation, and there is a specific cure for the disease. Like the virus, sin has entered into the world. Some symptoms of the virus we see are fever and cough and difficulty breathing, therefore the ventilators are needed. Some symptoms of sin are hatefulness and self-will and unbelief in God and his guidance. Some home remedies may help soothe the symptoms of the coronavirus disease or any disease. But with a major disease, you need to have the proper medicine if you want to be cured. In the final analysis, you need the disease to be cured, not just the symptoms soothed. You need the disease to be eliminated. If a person took Tylenol and the fever came down, they took cough syrup and the cough subsided, or a ventilator and they could breathe easier, all these would not kill the virus, for they only address the symptoms. The scientists and medical professionals are working to come up with a cure and a vaccine for this disease, this virus. But let's take a scenario. Suppose one day, in the not hopefully not too distant future, the cure is found and the announcement goes out, "We have found the cure." The announcement streams across the airways, people rejoice, anxieties are stilled by the news of the cure. But hearing that the cure is found does not heal the sick person. There's still one element that needs to be completed. You must take the medicine to be cured. There are some who have attempted to sell false cures on the internet. Like any other situation, some are always looking to profiteer from a tragedy. The bottom line is this: you must get the true cure, and then you must take the true cure. As with a virus, so many have sought to address the symptoms of sin by self-help books or psychology and a variety of false religions. For the disease of sin, there is only one cure. God does love you. And when people say God loves you, if they only knew it was the true God and the only God, he loves all the world. And because he loves the world, he provided a cure for the disease of your sin and mine. That cure is Jesus Christ. John 3:16 again says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is though all the disease of the virus is laid on and taken up and taken away by the cure, when that cure does come. And now the disease of sin has been laid on Jesus. He took your disease and took it to death, the disease of sin. He is the only cure. You are now free to live without sin as a condemning factor in your life if you accept the cure for that sin, which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood and died in your place. Isaiah 53:6 says beautifully, all of us like sheep have gone astray or slipped away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sins of us all. Jesus has taken all of our sins upon himself. Romans 5:8, one of my favorite scriptures says, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You are offered the cure. If you don't accept the cure, you will be condemned to suffer the consequences. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. After we read about the love of God in John 3:16, the following verses speak about those who refuse the cure. John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. They've not taken the cure, and so the disease remains. They are condemned to suffer the effects of sin, and those who refuse the cure of a life-taking disease are subject to suffer the death of that life-taking disease. For all mankind, it is a joy to know that God loves the world and the people in it. This is the manner in which he loves the world. He provides everything needed for life and godliness. This provision is seen in nature, in that he has created seasons of seed time and harvest. The rain falls on the good and the evil alike, the Bible says. He has not brought devastation equal to our rejection of him. If we were paid back equally to how we've rejected God, our lives would be ended. On the spiritual side, he has given of himself as the means of our salvation and eternal life. He has done this by coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who died in our place for the payment of the penalty of sin. He offers this forgiveness and restoration to whomsoever will receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Does God love everyone the same? First, God is love. That's the way we see God. God is love. So everything he does is done from his character of love. Everything is motivated by his love. But let's look at Adam and Eve. God loved all that he made and called it good. Now, the warning was given by God, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat from it, you will die. Adam and Eve ate of the tree in disobedience to the direct command of God, and they died spiritually. And in addition, the seeds of death were now present in all the physical realm, and Adam and Eve died physically in time. Did God say, in the day that you eat of the tree, I will kill you? No. Their death physically and spiritually was a consequence of disobeying the restrictions about the tree. I can see God reaching out and saying, please don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good. It is poison to you. It will bring disobedience to me and the knowledge of sin and evil. And I don't want you to be brought into that place. Stay in the innocent love that I have provided for you. It wasn't what went into their mouth that caused death. It was what came out of their hearts that brought death and separation from God. They were self-willed and wanted their own way rather than God's way. Their self-will caused men, them and all men, to disobey and suffer the poison of sin. They hid from God. Did God cease to love them at this point? God sought them out and loved them. Did he cease to love them when they ate of the tree or when they tried to hide from God? No. He loved them, provided for them coverings as a sign that their sin had been covered. He also promised to send a Savior, who he did send as Jesus Christ, who would bring restoration and cleansing from sin. See, the story of Adam and Eve is seen in every life of every person in the world. God does not cease to love anyone. He continually pursues them with an outstretched hand of mercy. God loves them even when they reject him. He will love them even when the results of their rejection of him leads them to hell. Just as Adam and Eve turned from God to disobedience and died spiritually, so will those who reject God and his provision die spiritually. This is not God's desire, for the Bible says that he would have all to be saved. But there will be some who reject him and turn from his offer of eternal life. But like the prodigal father, God stands at the door and looks longingly for all mankind to return to him. Romans 10:21 says, "But of Israel," he says, "all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." And we are that also. All day long God stands beckoning to us, and many turn aside to their own desires and self-will when they could trust in God and rely on him in all ways. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I ask you this day, being that you have been diagnosed with the disease of sin, will you take the only true cure and live eternally with Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will eat with him and he with me." You see, Jesus offers eternal fellowship for any who will open the door of their heart to him. Ask him this day to be your Savior and Lord, and he will forgive your sins and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be freed and cured from the disease of sin. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray that you would go into the airwaves and wherever this my voice might go this day or in future days, and touch the hearts of the people to know that it is the love of God that has been demonstrated in sending Jesus Christ into the world to die for the sins, to take their place, to bear the poison of their sin, and to offer himself as the cure that they might have eternal life with you. Lord God, bless the people this day. And if there be someone there this day that needs to say, "Lord God, I ask you to come into my life," then do that. Just say these words: "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself, but I believe that you died for me. I accept you now as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen." Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you.